Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
What's happening? What's happening, family? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. We're back live with another episode, man. We're actually going to do part two, and this is the conclusion of our two-part series of same-sex relationships. And last week, we actually dove into the whys, you know, as far as, you know, why do people decide to be in the same-sex relationships? And we had some very interesting questions, I must say. And Buddha, last week, we dove into it. You know, it all stemmed from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Regarding sword fighting, and that shit do hurt.
Yep.
And so now we came to forefront to talk about it. And what were just some of the reasons why people decide or choose, even though Morgan said she don't like those words, choose or decide, whatever. But what was just some of them?
Some of them was, you know, the life experiences. You know, they were molested as children. And bad relationships are another reason. And they were, that's just the way they were from birth. They chose that. That's what they like. Those were the three top ones.
What you remember last week, baby?
For the most part, people were, it was just, that's what they were attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was the attraction for the most, you know, that was, to me, that was like one of the biggest ones, the attraction as a whole.
Yeah. Now, comedian Loose Cannon was here last week when we first dove into this this topic. And it was actually quite interesting. Give us your thoughts on why you think some people decide to be in same-sex relationships.
Honestly, I don't have a dog in that fight. You know, I don't have a dog in that fight, so I can't. I don't know. I mean, I can speculate, but I don't have an opinion really. You know, that is a good question that I've wondered. You know, because me as a man, I feel like women are the bomb. You know what I'm saying? Like, how could you not love women, you know?
Well, what about the women that like women?
I can understand that, believe it or not. Because like I say, I love women.
And see that
I can understand why a woman would like a woman, because women got it going on.
And see that, and that was part two of that question, is why does society accept women relationships than the men?
I don't know about society. I'm talking about me. You know, I understand. I'm attracted to women, too. So when a woman say I'm attracted to women, I could see that. I could see, you know, I could see that because I, too, am a fan, and I, too, am attracted to the women, all right?
Well, and that's just been the whole...
I can relate to that, you know what I'm saying? But the other thing I don't necessarily relate to, because it hurt when you're constipated. I don't understand that. I couldn't... I wouldn't want to, I just don't understand that. I really don't, you know what I'm saying? It's a reason why I'm not in the hurry to go get a colonoscopy, okay? It just, all right? Hey,
so it's like, you know, so with my decision on doing this topic is, it's one of those things that people decide they want to shy away from because it may hurt people's feelings or it's a sensitive type of topic, but I think it needs to be talked about. And with some of the answers that I've been getting, which is the heart loves who it loves. regardless of what's between their legs.
Mm-hmm. Or the mind chooses what it chooses, you know.
It could very well be that.
I'm going to go ahead on and put it out there. You know, listen, I respect people's choices, but I do believe that that is a choice, all right? I don't believe that a human being is born that way. When I look at everything else in life, when I look at all the other mammals on Earth, the pattern is male-female. For the reproductive cycle, if we all went gay, we would the human race would go extinct within one generation, you know, because... You know, hey, you know, we wouldn't be reproducing. You see what I'm saying? So when I look at biology, when I look at anatomics, when I look at the fact that a man is built to penetrate a woman and a woman is built to receive a man, I personally don't buy into the notion that, you know, somebody is born to be attracted to the same sex, because it seems that... it seems quite natural that you would be attracted to the opposite sex so that you could reproduce and contribute to the population of the human race.
Man, oh man. Well,
that was your pageant speech.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
But if that is your choice to love somebody of the same sex and you happy with it, hey, it don't got nothing to do with me. It don't make me no never mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a fan of telling somebody else what they should be doing in their bedroom.
Well, I got a little clip that I'm going to play, because this is, you know, this is a guy who women adore and appreciate.
Say no.
Especially when he's taking his shirt off and all this other stuff. And he was recently on record.
Oh, you must be talking about Sugar Tank.
Talking about. I'm gonna just play the clip.
When we
just play the clip. Take a listen.
Say too much.
Jesus Christ. Does that mean that? What does that mean? Say twice. You said twice. Well, I suck a dick twice. I'm waiting for the rest of this. Am I gay? Twice. Does that make me gay?
No, no, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay.
So, I just sucked a dick twice.
And this is twice as excessive.
Oh, so maybe, now like no, twice as
no,
excessive.
But let's dig into it, right? Okay.
That so, he did.
He sucked the dick once, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'm not sure if I liked it or not.
Let me try it again.
And then he says, you know what? It's not for me. Don't like the taste. You see what I'm saying?
Don't like the taste. We're not talking about chicken. We're talking about dickin'. Dick in his jaw.
How you made a bar out of chicken and
dick. Because she's an artist at heart. Natural. Comes natural.
But it doesn't mean he's gay. It means he sucked dick twice.
Okay. So, just for the sake of your argument, that's... Okay. I got you.
Because the art of being gay is being gay.
It's being.
It's a continuous state of being.
Okay. So if you lie 10 times, you're not a liar. You just lie.
Well, 10 times, you damn near.
That's
pro.
A lot of so practice. What's the limit? So anything above 2, you get a second chance, and then if you keep it going, then
yeah,
there you are.
You strike out at 3.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
You strike out at 3.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So...
So if you're bicurious, according to Tank, there's a 3-dick minimum. There's a 3-dick maximum, basically. You know, after 3 dicks, you done made your mind up what you're gonna do with yourself, with your orientation.
So baby, after hearing that comment by Tank, a lot of he got a lot of backlash, like, you know, calling him names, Sugar Tank, like, you know, Cannon over there said. With his answer, do you think he's...
I got to hear this one.
on the DL, somehow, shape, or form?
No.
He's a savage.
I'm saying no, that he's just commenting on maybe people that he's seen around. Now, look, I know all the fellas are like, no, man, don't think that way. But there are a lot of you men out here that will go there, okay? So he was just commenting. Now, I thought he had said he admitted it. But y'all show some sensitive men out here, you know? But then sure as hell, if a woman say that about 2 women, y'all over there, and the crowd goes wild. So why y'all got to give us these double standards is the question.
Listen, like I said... And I'm just going to speak for myself. I personally understand I personally can't understand why a woman would like a woman, because I do like women. You know, so if you come to me and you be like, now this is what I don't understand. I don't understand women that like women that look like men and put a strap on like a man. Like, I, listen, you know, don't fade the funk now. If you're going to jump out there, jump all the way out there. You know what I'm saying? You know.
But he actually made a good point, like you just said. He said the art of being gay is that you all the way out there. It's like you have no shame, no anything. And the thing is, I appreciate that. But what gets to me are the down lows, the DLs, the one that's, you know,
I'm confused. Wife,
no, when I let me backtrack, because I see the thing in your eye. So what he's saying is the art of it is like they have no shame in it, and it's one of them things where, you know what, I don't care what people got to say about it.
I understood.
You're gonna be open about it versus being afraid of what society's going to say. That's your DL type of people out there. But think about it, DL only deals with brothers, right?
I understand what the good brother Tank is trying to say.
I don't even understand it.
I'm going to break it down.
Hold on. I want to hear what Malcolm got to say about this.
I want to hear the understanding that he has. Okay.
The good brother Tank, his argument, I understand his argument that, you know, in order to be something, there must be a continuous being of whatever that something is. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying. If you just do it one or two twice and then you're like, oh, tried that, I'm good. By his definition, that's not gay.
So
by his definition, you got to keep on with that thing. You got to be committed to that thing. You see what I'm saying? It's like what he's trying to say is, all right, just because you work at a mechanic shop for 2 months, that don't make you a mechanic, all right? But if you work at the mechanic shop for 30 years, you know, you was a mechanic for all that time kind of thing. So, you know what I'm saying? That's what he's trying to say. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say what most brothers will say, okay? Two dicks you gay, all right? One dick you gay, okay? One dick in your face, okay? and willingly staring at it and just willing. You're gay, okay? That's what most fellas say, okay, all right? And once you jump out, there ain't no coming back, Ben. Ain't no coming back.
But y'all will run a train on a woman. So
I have never been a fan of that, have never done it, and won't do
it. Two men going bite to bite. Y'all all in there.
Hold on now. That's different. Like,
nah, I have never been a fan of that. I have never participated.
Hold on. They're
in the same ballpark.
Listen. Hold on. Let's be clear here.
Buddha is speaking.
Let's be clear here. Now, there are open bay showers. Like, if you play basketball, football, you get naked, you take a shower.
Prison.
Right. That happens. That don't make you gay, right? Now, no. Back to this art thing that I'm just not understanding. So, let me. So, if I sing in the church and I never get noticed by the mainstream, am I still a singer?
Yes, because you continuously sing. So,
what I'm saying is, so if I'm in the confines of my own home and I like to draw, am I an artist? Exactly.
Yes.
So the art thing, that rules out the window. If you suck dick, this is what you do. And I'm a preface this because I'm going to ask the ladies this. Ladies out there, all of y'all, if a man come up to you, and when you ask him, what's your deepest, darkest secret? And he said he suck a dick. Where's the conversation going after that?
See, is he still sucking it or did he suck it?
It don't matter if he's still sucking it or if he sucked it.
Y'all done had that cousin. I done heard these stories.
So now, all right, so. Let's just dive into that for a little quick moment. All right. So does it have to be circumstantial things to occur that will make that person gay? For instance, because somebody emailed me or IM'd me earlier, gave me an example.
Okay.
Now they fully gay, but they gave me an example. Like, what if a person was forced?
That's different.
And it had to get, you know, either they were forced or they chose to do it because they had to make some quick money for whatever reason.
Well,
and they decided to do it.
You gay.
So, Buddha.
See, hold on. It's a difference between being forced and choosing to make money. So, that's two different things we're talking about. When I say being forced, that means you have a gun to your head and you got to make it. So okay. If a gun's to my head and they ask me, suck dick or die, nigga, I'm dying.
Okay,
shoot me.
Buddha, so if Young Thug came in here right now and said, pull this dress up and suck this dick.
Did you just not hear the first thing I just said?
If you're doing it for the money, and it's like, you know, hey, I need this money, so let me go ahead and do what I got to do.
You're a gay mercenary. That's what you said. You're a gay mercenary.
You're doing whatever it takes.
If you do it for the money, you're a gay mercenary.
You're doing whatever it takes to make it feel good in your own mind. You justify it.
Because I got a female associate that she strips.
Okay.
She's not gay. She's not bi-curious.
Okay.
But when she on that liquor and everybody in the strip club doing their thing, they in the back, whatever, and they end up getting tossed in the back room.
Okay.
By who?
By a girl.
By the other girls. Uh-huh. And they enjoy it because, hey, I'm under influence. Hey, you got to live once.
Whoa.
Oh, does that,
Does that mean
that she gay?
So actually I said,
this layers to this.
Yeah. What happens when you're sober? Would you do it when you're sober? Oh, absolutely not.
My first thing is first of all, that's rape. I don't want to hear. We had this conversation. If a person under the influence and they get taken advantage of, no matter if it's woman or man, that is rape.
What if it's Buddha, I can't side with that because there are women that like to have intercourse under the influence.
Listen,
as long as you know this is what's going to happen.
So you know she might be drunk and give consent.
Here's the thing, McKinney. Right, we just sat up here and had a conversation. Couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
About implied consent. All right. And if she, it don't matter if it happens the next day or a month later, they got about 2 years to call rape on this thing, right? Now, we done talked about this. So it may not be rape in the moment, but as soon as she felt like, that was wrong, a year later, she can claim rape.
Buddha, I understand your point. And that goes back to that conversation. That is a gray area that they don't want to talk about.
So, like, if they trying
to... But we are not afraid to discuss these things here on the TJ Chetman Show right here on Culture Radio.
Well, I digress. Carry on.
I'm going to actually pinpoint on this. I'm going to take it to the Players Club. Y'all seen what happened to Diamond? Would you consider that as rape with Diamond? What happened to Diamond?
Absolutely.
And she did it because she got drunk, and she blamed it on what exactly?
Anytime there's force involved, when you take something by force, then that's not consensual. You see what I'm saying?
Bingo.
So there shouldn't be any questions about that. Malcolm, you ain't said nothing the whole time you've been in here, boy.
I didn't let you talk, man.
Listen, man, this is a...
We're going to go to Malcolm.
This is a battle royal here. You jump in, you know what I'm saying?
Because right now, Malcolm, you sitting back...
Mold track and field teammate here, Malcolm. Okay.
Mr. Motivational, speaker.
All right.
We're going to get into that interview a little bit. But I want you to weigh in on what you got to say about everything that's been said, from why and the what's and the causes.
All right.
Hey, he just came into the shit store.
Honestly, so I have an aunt that's gay.
Me too.
Pam.
Amen. But I love her to death. But okay. How I look at it.
Me too. And my Uncle Pam.
Did he say Uncle Pam?
Oh yeah, that's what he just said.
Hush, can't say that.
How I look at it, to be honest with you, it's not for me, but I do understand where Tank is coming from. His mindset is basically saying, you don't know unless you try. I'm okay with not trying because that's just not my avenue. No. Yeah, I just want to make sure I put that out there. I don't want to try. Like you, I love women, but that being said, I understand where he's coming from. I don't know if he's a sugar daddy, or if he's gay or not. But I do understand he's like, hey, these guys are saying if you test it out,
you don't like it,
whatever. But in my eyes, I don't see that's an avenue that I really want to go down.
So when you test it, they call it being bicurious. And when you test it and it's like, you know what?
Why are we talking about penis like it's wine?
We're talking about just because
take a penis tester don't mean he gay. You gay, okay?
We didn't say he.
I know Tank ain't say that, but right, you know,
he spoke like he knew what he was talking about.
You know, listen, there's no such thing as a penis tester, all right? You either gay or you, I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. This is a new, it's the new millennium num-num, all right? And the new millennium, if that's your thing, come on now. Quit playing, quit tiptoeing.
So I agree with you. I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, you have a lot of individuals that are bicurious. And they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go that route or not. So once they do, they're like, okay, this is not for me. And they're like, all right, I don't want to go that way. I want to deal with women.
Right.
So, I get where Tank is coming from, but it's just not something that I would do.
So here's my thing. So the individuals that choose to be in the same-sex relationships, let's talk about when the parents find out for the first time or a family member finds out for the first time that their nephew, daughter, son, niece is gay.
Right.
And it's like, is there any blame placed on anybody that that person decide to like the same sex? Is there any fault of the parents? Because some people was like, it could be the environment, it could be that the parents didn't teach them, or... What do you got to say about it, Malcolm? Is there any blame to it?
To a certain extent. You have certain parents that are, like, certain fathers that are not there for their daughters. So their mom's been the strongest person in the family. So they look for a female to be strong. So they reach out to these females and be like, okay, so you're a stud, so let me... Because I remember my mom had to pay the bills, had to fight the people that came to the house. She fought guys and everything when I was growing up. Right, so in their mentality as a female, she's like, all I know is strength from a woman, so I get that strength from that woman. As far as guys, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I can't help you on that one.
So as a father myself, I teach all of my kids about love and affection. However, this, you don't touch that. That's for girls. I better not ever catch you touching that with a straight face. Okay, daddy. I want to see you touch that game. And then, of course, you know, you have the motherly figure. You know, kids don't know no better. What they going to know today?
Right.
You got to ingrain them. They're just curious. No, they ain't curious. Well, this is going to be the last time they're curious with a baby doll. That's it. So with that, I think partial of it, like you said, can be placed on the parents depending on the upbringing and what was taught to them. Sometimes kids don't decide to do it until they in high school, influenced by others.
Right.
Parents did the best they can. Mm-hmm. And it's just that when a child gets to a certain age, their mindset starts to develop on their own what they like. And at this point, you just gotta, you know what? You accept them as they are. You got some parents like, hey, I don't wanna have nothing to do with you. And that's that, because I was trying to get a pastor on the show that had a son or a daughter that liked the same sex and how that, but, you know, they declined to comment. But that's that. So we got us with us in the building tonight, Malcolm McLeod.
I like how you transitioned to that, have me answer those questions.
What's happening, my brother? happening, my brother? Malcolm McLeod, what's going on, brother?
What's up,
Royal
man?
Motivations
doing?
In the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So how's the journey been for you, man?
Amazing. Especially this year alone, doors have been opening. Even coming on platforms as such, doors have really been opening with individuals in the Tampa, Florida, and Orlando area. Mm-hmm. So this journey's been real good. Been helping out quite a few people.
Wow, that's amazing. So what does being a motivational speaker mean to you?
Someone that's not only speaking it, but walking it at the same time. So a lot of times when I come up with certain messages or I'm on stage or anything, it's my topics is something that I've actually experienced myself or someone that I know personally, and we've had these in-depth conversations. So being able to walk the, what you're talking as well. So that's, honestly, I feel a lot of motivational speakers, they get on stage and they just talk just to spit words out. Mm-hmm. But everything I talk about, I've been through. Or right. everything I talk about, I've personally been through. So
right. And so, because I actually have, you know, a good friend of mine's, you know, most of you guys know him, Anthony A.D. Davis. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a, you know, powerful motivational speaker and who also, you know, speaks based on his experience. Now, being a motivational speaker comes a lot of responsibility. Some right. people, you know, tend to, you know, talk the talk but never, you know, walk the walk. So how does your motivational speaking skills is different from the others?
I feel like I relate to individuals in a way because, and the reason why I say that is because I'm an individual that became vulnerable and I let people understand the downfalls that I've experienced. A lot of people, they mention it lightly, but they don't take them through the journey. Like recently, I just personally went to a counselor for mental health, which a lot of black men really don't do in our communities nowadays. I took them through the journey, the moments that I didn't want to go to my counselor, the moments that after I left the counseling, how I felt drained in those things. I take you through everything that I've gone through so that you can see that I am human just like you. And that I feel like that's the difference between everything that I do and other motivational speakers. Like you're walking with me as I go through these pains and trials and tribulations.
Right. So has there been a person or some type of activity or event that caused you to, you know, want to start, you know, Royal Motivation?
Take it back to church, man.
Absolutely.
My dad's a deacon, so growing up, listening to him, even though he used to talk hours and hours and hours, and we'd just be sitting in the living room, but the messages that he would give made me want to be that person to go back out and be like, hey, I can give this to the community, to people that need it. So that was my inspiration and still my inspiration to this day. That's the person that got me going, and that's, I mean, anytime you see a Royal Motivational event, you're definitely going to see my pops.
So Royal Motivation, how did you get the name?
So I'm a king, man. We all kings, we have tons of queens in this world. So since I look at myself as a king and I look at our young ladies and our ladies as queens, we are royal. So, and definitely always need motivation. So I tied the two together and we running with it.
Hey, that's definitely a catchy phrase. Now, is it a, have you LLC'd it or?
LLC'd. Is yes, it? Sir.
See, that's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
You know, once you get that brand and you're building your brand up, man, that's very important to a lot of people, man. And
shout out to I got another tip for you after the show too, dog.
Gotcha. So,
you know, and
shout outs to my two closest friends that actually put me on game on that, Maggie and Elizabeth. Those individuals definitely, hey Malcolm, make sure you do this, make sure you do this. So, I mean, if it wasn't for those two, I mean, it wouldn't be an LLC.
Hey, I feel you. Sometimes you just need people, you know. Well, I've always been a believer that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
He puts people in your path for a reason. You know, some for a season and some for a lifetime.
Right.
You know, so I'm definitely a firm believer in that. Now, when you're out here getting ready to, you know, speak, you know, to individuals, it's kind of like a two-part question.
Uh-huh.
What topic do you decide on when you're talking, and what type of age range do you speak to?
All right, so when I'm speaking to the individuals, it depends on where I'm at. So if I'm in an area where I know these individuals have gone through things as far as domestic violence or violence within the home, or they don't have the funds to make day-to-day that family's going through, so my topic is to talk about when I came up from the projects. Depends on where I'm at. The age group that I speak to, mainly what I kind of cater to is ages 9 to 19. And that's youth as far as males and females.
Okay. And and as far as, like, being selective, because, you know, sometimes you have a passion for, you know, a certain age group.
Right.
Have you ever spoken to, you know, middle-aged adults going through, you know, certain, you know, crises? And mainly you may not have gone through that just yet. Have you ever experienced something like that?
So I have been placed in conferences where there are middle-aged individuals, and I haven't gone through it. Those moments, like I was saying earlier, where I sit down and I educate myself with people that are actually experiencing those things so that I have the knowledge. So when I'm talking to you, it's just not something thrown out of my head. I'm actually having someone that's going through what you're going through and walking that walk, so kind of so that I can be relatable.
Wow, that's truly amazing. And you touched on it a little bit already, but what's been the most rewarding part of doing all of this and speaking, you know, to individuals and just motivating them?
Giving back, man. I just recently did an event in September called How to Walk Like a King. And honestly, before the event, anytime you do any event, you're kind of nervous, stressing, like, oh, what if this don't turn out? But at that event, the energy in that room was amazing. You had a young man that asked a question, and he was basically saying, hey, what do I do when my mom is, like, upset with me? And out of everyone, you had the man answering and everything, but there was a mom herself who actually answered as a mother who's been experiencing those things. Moments like that is my rewarding moments, because now not only do you have kings in a room, but you have queens backing these kings. When I see things like that, I mean, I don't care how much it costs, what it is, how much effort, time I put in, but it was all worth it due to things like that.
Wow, that's truly amazing. And as far as the the motivational speaking part, is there like steps you take where, you know, you're going to accept this event or you're not going to accept this? Is there guidelines or boundaries to what motivates you to either say yay or nay?
Yes. I've learned in the past 2 years that sometimes I have to accept myself, so I don't take every event that comes to me. I make sure that, one, that I'm prepared mentally, and two, the energy I feel is there. I'm very big on energy, very, very big on energy, because there's a lot of events out there, not downing anybody, but there's a lot of events that are more trying to get money instead of helping people, and I don't see myself being a part of something trying to take money from other individuals instead of uplifting them.
Okay, so there's no particular genre or any type of race that you speak to?
So I'm open to all races. Now, I know our topic of the day is same sex and everything. I wouldn't be at an event like that. I'm not bad.
So you want
no offense, but I don't have any experience with that, so I just can't help you on that.
Yeah, one. Goes back to what you said. You talk about experience, so I shouldn't find you down at Cowboys doing motivational speaking.
I don't even know what Cowboys is, but
the real question is how he know who can what go down. I'm just playing.
It's right next to Cleo's.
Can't help but miss it.
Oh man. I believe.
So let me ask you, if you could change one thing about your platform as a motivational speaker, what would it be and why?
Wow, that's a loaded question. So if I could change that, I definitely would change the fact as far as the financial. I find myself going to these events or doing events and giving back, but I'm giving back vocally. I'm giving back to your energy, your soul, but I'm not giving back to you physically. A lot of individuals are going through things day in and day out, and you can feed their minds. A lot of motivationals feed their minds, but they're not really helping them level up to where they need to be. But I'm working on that. So I started with the company, and shout out to my Relentless team, where I'm working on my financial freedom myself so that I can get to a position where I can help other people do these things. So I'm working on myself to level my where I want to be so that I'm just not out here giving you words, but I'm helping you get to where you need to be.
Through experience. Right. Makes sense. Well, who Definitely. Motivates you to keep going?
A lot of people, to be honest. You have my father, you have my three wives, which is not wives, I had to say that again.
I'm about to say, but it looked like somebody need to come back and give a motivational speech from experience about the poverty life.
But you have my
should have had him for that episode.
Right. You have my three wives, which is my mom, my grandmother, and my second mother. And then you have friends, like right now I have, it's a group of four of us where...
They done said it like, okay, I'm glad he clarified.
Yeah, let me clarify that. It's four of us, and it's called Men with Transitional Goals. So each one of us is our initials, and we're
Like, one's an engineer, one's a singer that goes all over the world singing, and the other's a psychology major, and myself is a motivational speaker and marketer. So all of us got together, and we're still working on getting this platform, but, like, having individuals like that in your corner, I mean, it's sky's the limit. Okay.
Wow.
That was deep. Okay, well, so tell the people, how can they follow you?
All right, so you can follow me on YouTube, where you can go to Royal Motivation. Also on Facebook, where you can go to King Miles Motivational Room, and Instagram, Royal Motivation 333. So just so you know, there's a lot of things coming up the end of this year, but next year is where you're going to have How to Step Like a Queen, How to Walk Like a King in Orlando, Florida, and Tampa, Florida.
Okay. Wow. That was pretty much what I wanted to ask next, if you had anything coming up.
So I'll be also speaking November 16th, mental health with Pernell Bush, Nisi Gaines, and all of them. So I'll be on the panel with those guys as well.
Awesome. And where can they find that event?
That'll be in Sanford, Florida, but it's the Corey Davis Foundation.
Okay.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Malcolm McLeod, man. Thank you. My goodness. That's motivational in itself. Now, with just a little, you know, speech off the top of your dome.
All right.
And, you know, we talking about same-sex relationships. I know you ain't got, you know, any experience in it.
Yeah, wrong person.
So...
That's so, motivation.
Like, so old person. If there's anything that you can speak on and motivate individuals that are in the same sex relationships, what motivation would you give them to separate them from what the naysayers and society has to say about them?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even, I'm trying to give a better way of saying it. You know what, all in all, how I look at it, be you. No matter what people say, people are going to hate on you, judge you or whatever. And if you allow that to stop you, then your happiness is not going to be there. No matter if you're gay, if you're a basketball player, you're a comedian, if you have your own show, whatever it is, people are going to have negative comments day in and day out about you. But it's up to you if you let it affect you, to stop you with what you want or where you want to go, or if it's up to you if you just be like, okay, I hear you, and I'm going to keep going. No matter where you're at, Kevin Hart has a lot of negative comments, but he's still pushing out shows. Steve Harvey have a lot of negative comments. Oprah, but these people are still pushing and pushing and pushing because they know people are going to talk, but they look at their supporters and they're wise, and they keep going.
Hold on, real quick, Malcolm. I just want to ask you to expound and elaborate on why you call these things their whys, if you will, because you said when you first brought up, you said your three whys, as in like the letter Y, right? Okay, but you said your three whys are your mother, your second mom, and who else?
And my grandmother.
Okay, well, where does why come into play with all that?
So my why, the reason I tell people to focus on their why is because there's moments in life that you're going to have where you're down and out, and it's going to be certain individuals that you're going to look to. For instance, like my mom been in the hospital day in and day out sick, but there was moments where I had events, and she made those events happen, events for my family, and she made that happen from the hospital bed. Not many people have that skill or that endurance or that willpower. My grandmother, I remember she was in the hospital and she was dying. The only thing that she ever said, she's like, I don't want to die. So she fought to live, and she's still here today. And lastly, my second mom, she actually had breast cancer last year. And one of the things she told me, she was like, hey, so I just want you to know, and this is when she called me telling me she had breast cancer. I just want you to know that, hey, I got this. The doctor's saying this. I'm not worried to have faith. We're going to fight this, and I still got work to do. And yet, just the other day, I made a post about her saying how she's my motivation. I keep going, and she's cancer-free, just to speak on that as well. But these individuals, I see their willpower, their motivation, their endurance to keep going. So when I'm down and out, I remember what they went through. And when I remember what they went through, I know that whatever I'm going through, I can still push through it. So when I tell people to focus on your why, you got to remember there's individuals that believe in you. But find those individuals that you look up to, that you are like, hey, I like what you do. Like you probably have comedians, right, that you look up to, and they motivate you when the moment you're like, dang, I'm having writer's block. Let me just go ahead and look at this.
Absolutely.
So sometimes that can be your why you want to do it, because you have people that you want to get out of certain situations.
All right. So when you say why, you mean W-H-Y.
Yeah, not letter Y. Yeah.
Okay, to be clear.
My bad.
And I see your point. You got to focus on your reason why you're doing this in the correct first place. You're absolutely worthwhile, if you will. Okay, I understand you better now.
Definitely.
Wow. So, okay. Well, definitely, Malcolm, man, we appreciate your brother coming on the show, man. Thank you for
having me. It's
always great, and that's what I try to use my platform for, is to, you know, to help individuals get their message out. No matter if you have totem pole or you're a rising star.
Yes, sir.
You know, and you know, myself, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm this, you know, Ricky Smiley or, you know, Tom joining body, but
you are. They just got the money right now, but your money coming.
That's exactly what I'm about to say.
I do believe that.
And it's just a matter of you know, me continuing to push forward and move forward. You know, even though that my platform is not as huge as theirs right now.
Right.
But you know, I start here and just allow my platform to be your platform.
I appreciate it.
So whatever events you got going on, any upcoming, you know, speaking engagements, you know, definitely reach out to me. We can get it out there on the air. And man, it's a pleasure having you. And
Booth,
I appreciate you, man, because you know, we originally had someone out here, and it's kind of like, bro, I don't know what to do, man. We already had it set. And he was like, I got the perfect person for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so big shout out to, you know, Booth over here for, you know, for recommending you, brother.
Appreciate you.
And I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Definitely. So
back to the nasty time.
Oh, God.
Hey, I wasn't finna say it. I was just gonna slide it on in there.
I got you.
So now, all right, we got some time. So now, Malcolm, we gonna put you on the spotlight, because we done had some topics
all right
that have came up that led up
to this.
Okay, now we're gonna talk about Captain Underpants. Let me tell you why Captain Underpants. Okay, and I'm sure she out there watching. Listen,
yeah,
I love your story.
I'm with you.
I love your story. Your story is motivational, because you know that's when you should have left.
Right. Oh,
that's when I should have said.
So,
when I should've left.
All right. So you invite somebody to your house at 2 a.m. in the morning. Okay.
2 a.m.
2 a.m.
Okay.
And and she says, "Okay, I'll be over there."
Let me clarify something.
Go ahead.
All right, because I think I know where we at now. Now let's be fair.
Oh,
all right, let's be fair. Okay, I got your back, girl. Hold on, I'm gonna go to bat for you. Now,
hold on,
don't do it.
Now the time frame is what I'm going to bat for.
Okay, the time. All right.
The time frame was, you know, for the start of an NBA Finals game, which would have been at probably about
9 o'clock.
Well, it depends on what day. If it was on the Sunday or something like that, which I believe it was on the Sunday or something like that, then it would have been more like a 5-6 o'clock afternoon game.
8 o'clock.
Okay, all right. 8 o'clock game then. Okay, so let's just say 8 o'clock, all right? Because I'm with you when you're right. If it's 2 o'clock, you know, and if I give you an invitation for 2 o'clock, in the morning, and you come over there, I'm not having you over for tea, crackles, and conversation, all right? But one thing I want at 2 o'clock in the morning, only thing up at 2 o'clock in the morning is hard dicks and helicopters, all right? Just,
okay. Hey, what did you say, TJ? Now finish your story. All
right, so you end up doing something, right, originally, okay? You end up doing something originally, and so you get used to that. So the moment that a person says, "Nah, we don't do that no more," but you done got used to it. And you get that implied consent, like, wait a minute, hold on. Does no really mean no, to a certain degree?
Whoa.
First of all, hold on. Let me make sure you understand.
Is there more to that question?
Yeah, make sure the brother understand what you're asking him now, TJ.
You said Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. All right, so you standing here. Bam. Captain Underpants.
Naked.
Thing slinging in your face. Go on now, move out the way. I told you we don't do that no more. Grab the neck. Like that. Push it. Go on, I said stop. And you stay there and continue to watch the game. Where's the disconnect at that point?
and you're feeling
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this.
Why do you continue to stay there?
Well, let me, the question.
Okay, all right.
So you're saying,
why do you continue to stay there after the John Smith swing in your face? Mm-hmm. You don't grab the back.
That was her favorite team.
You don't grab the back of the neck. You tried to forcefully push the face.
You tried.
You were saying that, I was like, hold on, man.
And so, but you didn't get up and leave. You just stayed there.
She didn't
get up and leave, and you still sitting in the chair naked.
And you're watching the game.
I don't think it's fair.
You watching the game?
Still watching the game because it was a good game.
It could be her favorite team.
Michael.
She liked the Lakers.
Hey, listen. Let's be fair. All right. If we going to have this conversation, let's have the actual person. I know who you're talking about. Now,
hold on.
Let's have the girl. Let's have the sister back on the show.
But she done gave us the reason why.
So which is
why the book was written.
So she said no.
But continued to stay there.
The individual, but stayed there.
The name of the book should be "I Should Have Hit You Dead in Your Jaw." When, okay.
But the name of the book is
right.
"So
I Should Have Left When," which motivated her because of her experiences to write this book, because that's the time where she should have left.
So he forced her to.
They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. Supposedly.
But he showed tried.
He showed tried. But she stayed.
Tried twice. One, he was naked. Two.
Talking to the mic.
That's what he told her.
Brought the mic.
From the head to the mic.
So the question is, why did she stay?
She probably
had deep feelings for the guy. She did once upon a time,
but because he was too super religious, it's like, you know what, we can only be friends.
Right, but even then, she still had a connection with him at a certain point. So that connection was like, okay, I know we used to do this, so this is something that we were doing. But me still saying no, after a while, you stop. But I'm going to stay here because our connection is still there. Like, you still respect me to a certain extent for not completely forcing me to do this. I just really believe that connection was there with the two of them.
I'm going to say this. I think this is a perfect example of why I feel the way I feel. All right. In the game of dating, in the game of romance, it is a zero-sum game. It's all or nothing. We either pregnant or we not. All right. We either doing this or we not. Ain't no ties in the game of romance. All right. All right. A lot of people try to play the game safe. A lot of people try to bow. It either is or it isn't. We either rocking or we not. Okay. So if we tried something and it didn't work out, ain't no friends. It just didn't work out, and we go our separate ways.
But that's you. It's a lot of people that can remain friends. In a friendship.
That's garbage.
That's you.
Well,
go ahead, Buddha. We got a little time.
My only issue I have with that situation is she felt like it's his fault. And it ain't.
Oh.
She did?
She was like, I should have left when, but he tried me. No. Yeah, he tried you, but you could have left, and then you stayed. So at the point that you stayed, it ain't on him no more. It's on you.
They gave him confidence. Like,
you see what I'm saying? Because you should have left. That's my only issue with that situation. When he disrespected you, you should have walked out then.
Right.
Listen, have a sister back on the show if y'all gonna talk about it. No, let's be fair.
But she did say that's like she like
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
like
she clarified everything about it.
Yeah.
It was just more of a point.
That's when she should have really left.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But it was misleading at that point when you stay.
But I want to say this: if we gonna have this conversation, I think it'd be fair to have the actual person in the room.
We did that.
But if we gonna make a show out of it, let's have her here and really talk about it, or buy the book and really read and see where she was coming from.
She read it word for word from the book.
She ain't read all of it. Now you understand, buy the book and you read.
That way you go read it. Now part two to that though, Malcolm.
There's a part two.
Well, part two leading up to the part of coming to your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's only one thing that you're gonna do, like Ken said, and if she gets there. Well, I don't feel like doing nothing. You got two choices. Either, all right, well, go home or give me some. Because what else you think I asked you over for? For milk and cookies?
All right, so I used to be, if you were asking me the old me, I would align with you, right? But at the stage that I am now, at 2 o'clock, I mean, yeah, as a man, we have that mentality. But there's moments where I'm like, yo, I need someone to just hang out with or just chill. I'm up that time anyway. I'm writing, working on something. And there's times that I'm mentally blocked. So hey, let's sit, talk, let's do whatever. Because I'm not going to call a dude over at 2 a.m. in the morning. So I'm going to.
Well.
Right. So, but think about it. Like, how would that look, though? You know what I mean? Like, hey, come over, let's chill. I think a lot of people get it misconstrued, and yeah, sex is everything, but it's not everything if you're in a relationship or some type of friendship or some type of understanding. And that's why a lot of people fall out, and the disconnect is there.
Mm-hmm. I just say,
so nowadays in the Me Too era, instead of having implied consent, should you now, moving forward, ask for the goodies?
Absolutely.
Do you ask for it now? Because, hey, listen.
Or instead of like just.
There's implied, like, you know, you rubbing up on her, kissing on her, she moaning, groaning, whatever. You know, sucking on some, you know, whatever.
Safety,
sorry. She don't stop you. You know, next thing, okay, all right, well, let me go in there and slide the meat out and, you know, tapping on the
be
thing.
Be intentional, brother.
And at this point, hey.
Before I
do this, can I go ahead and put it in? Is that considered asking permission?
Well, before you pull it out, you should have that conversation, brother.
But she pulled a titty out first, so.
Hey, dog, baby, listen.
She let me pull it out.
We not listen. Pulling it out.
Let me tell you, man.
Before, you know, listen. I'm gonna tell you what I used to do. That ain't that ain't 100% true now. Cause I used to do to make the situation less awkward. We've been making that for about 15-20 minutes.
That's a long time. Yeah. That's a
you know, I might. That's what I'm saying. All right. So now it's time to escalate the situation. So what this. This is what I would do. I put the hand down now. Now, she go to, you know, squeezing. I'd be like, hey, listen, go ahead and pull that thing out for daddy real quick kind of thing. And if she pull it out, it's on.
Cannon, what should happen is, before she got in her car to come to you, y'all had that conversation.
Amen. Whatever.
Amen.
That's what should happen. All right? Listen, you coming over, this is what I'm expecting. If you're not expecting that, let me know now so we both on the same page.
I come over there. I understand.
Okay,
man, we know if we coming over there, it's going down. All right, we done prepared to preach, for man. It to potentially go down.
Nah, well y'all okay?
I don't know the women y'all done been dealing with, Cannon, but I'm telling you,
I'm just saying.
She knows, or
just
the conversation.
Be intentional, right? Set what it is that you want, and give her the opportunity to decide what she want to do. Simple as that.
Just like
that'll cover you. That'll cover all bases for you.
And furthermore, it's time to start holding men and women accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely.
Just like Buddha said, you know, instead of just assuming, it's time to start holding men and women accountable. You hold me accountable. That's the same way I'm gonna hold you accountable. Look, what time is it? What's going on? Like, we need to use our words because we too grown for this.
Mm-hmm.
To not know that what we're here for or what the intentions are.
Exactly. And so, I mean, that that's just basically what we try to do here is try to motivate and give others a platform to speak their mind because a lot of people are afraid to talk about things like this. And before we go, you know, Buddha mentioned the three P's. So
he knows the three P's.
So for those women that do decide to be in the same-sex relationship, do she provide those three P's? Whether it's plastic?
Absolutely.
Or, if it's the real thing, if they do all of that, that's what it is. Because next week, Buddha, baby, Cannon, we finna dive into the pot of life. So y'all need to make sure y'all get ready. Grab your seatbelt. Grab your cognac. And grab a glass of wine because next week's show, we're going to do a crossover with the poly lifestyle.
Well.
And it's going to be off the chain, y'all.
Oh, boy.
Tune in.
Three P's.
Until next week, keep it locked. The best is yet to come.